This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. I've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio for you this week, beginning with Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. We'll hear his story from May 11th, 1958, titled Heritage. After that, it's Words at War with their first episode, titled Combined Operations, The Official Story of the British Commandos. This episode first aired June 24th, 1943.
Slaughter's my name, Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I've got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory from Yuma to Fort Defiance, from Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
Became the seat of the newly formed Cochise County in 1881, the old town marshal became the new county sheriff, and he discovered that it's hard sometimes for a man to assume added responsibilities.
Hey, Luke, here comes the sheriff. He's sure scallywhootin'.
Well, what kind of trouble you got yourself in now, Wichita?
Why, I ain't in no...
I'd have your advice, Luke.
Howdy there, Sheriff. Can't wait till we say good morning?
No. Well... yeah, I guess it can. Good morning.
Morning, Sheriff.
Now, Luke, they're holding four renegade Apaches over at St. David. Burned a farm, murdered a man and a woman.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but the posse ran them down all right.
Well, that posse better string them engines up just
in... yeah, that's why I came out here. Instead of letting the posse let justice take its course, the law says I got to haul the four of them into Tombstone to stand trial.
That is justice, Sheriff. If the Apaches can be identified in court, they'll hang legally.
Yeah, they got identification. Them four Redskins was born bad.
I don't think anybody's born bad, Sheriff.
Well, I haven't time to debate the point. What I want to know is, how am I going to get the four of them into Tombstone?
Well,
it's a full day's ride each way. I got one regular deputy, Clint Wallace. One of us has got to be in Tombstone, and the other'd be dead if he tried herding them four killers here by himself.
Well, why...
why don't you shackle him and bring him in by stage?
The stage line through St. David went broke, you know that.
Yes, and there's a Concord wagon gathering dust over there, and there's six stage horses eating county oats till they're sold at auction.
Hey, there isn't that. Only it's too dangerous for one man.
All right, Sheriff. Deputize me for a couple of days, and I'll go with you.
Now, if you need...
I was hoping you'd volunteer, Luke. We leave early tomorrow morning. Say, can you handle a six-horse hitch?
Well, I never drove a six-horse hitch, but there's a couple of men in Tombstone you could get.
Can I get just one measly word in edgewise?
Well, sure. Just say it.
Well, I've drove stage for Birch and Holiday and Butterfield. And if I can't drive four ratty Apaches from St. David to Tombstone, Hank Monk himself couldn't do it. Ah! Get on there! Pull on there!
Wichita, we know you're a top whip. These horses still can't go 50 miles at a full gallop.
He's down a little. These bumps are like to shake the shackles off the prisoners.
Pull those horses way down. It's time our prisoners had a drink of water.
Yeah. Whoa, you need water.
right, Luke. Awful hot and dusty out here.
Hey, Wichita, you're having the time of your life, ain't you?
Well, now...
Yeah, so would I. These murdering Apaches didn't have me spooked.
I don't like any part of it. I'll be glad when the day's over.
Yeah. They're mean customers, all right. They know it's their last ride, lest they bust loose from us.
I'll pass them the water bag. You men keep me covered, just in case.
Yes, we will, Luke.
Here you are, Niskanen. Water.
I'll drink. Chains tight.
Your hands are loose enough to hold it. Hurry up. That's better. Pass it when you're through.
A little whiffy up there, close to him, ain't it?
Like a wolf's den.
Hey, Luke, down there in the wash, those two men.
Yeah, I see them.
Ain't one of them Al Larson?
It is, Al, at that. Hey there, Larson!
Yeah, I don't recognize the fella coming toward us. But...
Luke, did you see that?
I sure did. Al emptied his iron right into him.
Why did he do it? The other hombre never made no move to draw.
Wichita, keep an eye on the prisoners.
Right.
Come on, Sheriff. Looks like we've got to take another passenger to Tombstone. Al, you must have had a reason. You've lived in these parts better than 10 years. I don't think you've ever had an argument before that I heard about.
I can't talk about it, Mr. Slaughter. I shot him, you saw that, and that's it.
You'll have to stand trial, you know.
Just take me before a judge and I plead guilty. I don't want to put anyone to any trouble.
You're putting us to a powerful lot of trouble. Wichita and two horses had to take the body back to St. David, and I got to drive this rig myself. Come on, Al. Who was he?
Don't know what he called himself. Nobody in St. David will identify him either.
I've seen that face somewhere, I'm sure.
No, there wouldn't be a chance in a million of that. I'm willing to take my medicine, so forget it.
We want to do you a favor, don't you see? Give us a reason you shot him. Maybe we can get you off.
I would like one favor.
We'll try, Al.
When we get to my place, let me go in and say goodbye to my youngster.
Well...
I think we could do what Al's asking, Sheriff. We've both known him for a long time.
If you say so, Luke.
Al, little Barbara's going to find out you killed that man. There's no way out of it.
Well, I was thinking if I plead guilty without a trial or anything, then you could keep it out of the newspaper.
I don't think we can. But just suppose we did. Somebody's got to take care of Barbie. She's not 13 yet, is she?
Well, almost. And Barbie knows what she's to do if anything ever happens to me.
Al, you didn't figure all the consequences of shooting that man down, did you?
I figured the consequences of not doing it. My farm's just ahead now. Can I go say goodbye to Barbie?
As far as I'm concerned. Sheriff?
All right, Larson. I'll unlock your wrist chains and give you 5 minutes.
Oh, all that. I wonder how Wichita drives 6 horses.
He'd hurry up.
Sheriff, he hasn't been in there much more than a minute. Oh, this whole mess makes me almost sick.
I know, Luke. Me too.
The face of the man he killed. If I could only remember where I've seen it.
Why we stop, wide-eyed?
Never mind. Just be quiet down there.
We gotta make Tombstone before dark. Can't trust an Apache any further than you can throw.
Sheriff, they're chained.
Who's that?
It's Al. Al! Come back here.
All right, Slaughter. Letting him say goodbye to his kid was your idea.
I can't believe I could be so wrong about him. I can't believe anything that's happening today.
Now, what do we do?
Get the Apaches to Tombstone as fast as we can, organize a posse, and go after Al.
Well, where are you going now?
To have a quick talk with Larson's daughter. Just watch these prisoners.
Say where he was going, Mr. Slaughter, just that he'd be back.
Just that?
Well, exactly what he said was that he'd be back for me.
Barbie, this is rough country. Sometimes things we can't know about just sort of happen. What if your father was delayed? Say he didn't get back for quite a long time.
Well, I know it won't, but... Well, if anything does happen to him, I'm supposed to go into St. David. We're Mormons, you see, and if there's trouble, we take care of each other.
I know. You're not worried about the Indians?
Oh, no. They come here for food if they need it, and, well, of course, we always share what we happen to have.
If more people acted that way, there'd be less trouble with the Indians. Barbie, you're getting to be a fine-looking young lady. You favor your mother, do you?
Father says not too much.
Luke, get him, move on.
We have a long trip, Barbara, so when your father comes back, tell him... Well, tell him I'm sorry whenever I miss a friend.
I guess we'll make it before dark. About 10 miles yet.
It'd be a cinch if it weren't for this hill. Whoa! Hold up. With this loaded, it'd finish the horses. We'll have to take the leg irons off the Apaches and all walk up.
Yeah, I reckon you're right, Luke.
All right, Niskanen. You and your friends can stretch. Out with you.
Want water.
You'll get it. Sheriff, you got the keys?
Of course I have. It's just your legs, you filthy...
Don't waste time calling them names.
Don't you waste time. Give them the water.
As soon as you get clear to keep a gun on them.
I got a gun on them. Only takes one hand to unlock the shackles.
Here, Niskanen.
Lawman's gun. I trample white eyes slaughter.
Niskanen, you'll never...
Gorla, take keys. Make hands free. Lawman, die fast from own gun. Slaughter die slow from Niskanen's knife.
An Apache foot on my throat. Apache knees pinning my arms and legs. Niskanen leering over me as he grabbed my hair. And then, from a rock cover somewhere on that hill...
Are you all right, Mr. Slaughter?
Yeah, Al, I'm all right.
Well, the sheriff's done for. So are the Apaches.
Where'd you come from, Al? I figured you and Barbie'd be across the border by now.
Well, I went back as soon as I thought it out. We'd be running the rest of our lives, and someday I'd have to tell her why we were running. So I was riding after you to give myself up.
Things are going to turn out all right for you and your youngster. What you just did will make a big difference with the jury. You just tell them why you shot that man this morning and...
There isn't going to be a jury. Doesn't have to be. I'm guilty. I killed a man. But nobody's ever going to know why I killed him.
In a moment, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone returns. A big slice of the American dollar goes for research. And because we endorse the American system, the money devoted to medical research comes from voluntary gifts. A cure for cerebral palsy will surely be found, but how rapidly depends directly on how much we're willing to participate. Participation in this sense means contributing the dollars to support a concentrated program of medical research against cerebral palsy, the brain disorder that cripples more than 200,000 children in this country. Somewhere in America, cerebral palsy strikes some child every 53 minutes, every day in the year. United Cerebral Palsy is fighting this relentless timetable. You can participate in a fine, humane effort. Contribute to the 53-minute March on Cerebral Palsy, Tuesday, May 20th. Or mail your contribution today. Address it to Palsy, care of your local postmaster. And now... Act Two of William N. Robeson's production of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
Al Larson and I brought 5 bodies into Tombstone. There wasn't any trouble about the dead Apaches. There had been witnesses to their other murders, and Al and I had seen them kill the sheriff. Deputy Clint Wallace was sworn in as the new sheriff, and Al was quietly locked up. Wichita and I were the only ones left who'd watched him gun a man down in the desert.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Slaughter. Come on in. Good
morning, Sheriff.
Oh, why don't you just call me Clint like you used to?
Sure thing. And you start calling me Luke. How's Al Larson?
Just the same. Quiet, no trouble. You want to talk to him?
Wichita's back. We'll talk to Al when he gets here.
Good. I hope you don't think I administer the law as sloppy as the place looks. I'm cleaning out the old sheriff's belongings.
Junk is a better word for it.
I liked him. He was a good lawman when the job wasn't so big. But he sure was a pack rat. Look at these. Handbills from 10, 15 years ago.
Wanted for mine fraud. Colorado, 1868. Wanted for murders. Sacramento, 1871.
You must have saved him from long before he even came to Tombstone.
Well, here I be. Here's this son of a gun stew and biscuits I cooked up for Al.
Oh, howdy, Clint.
Howdy, Wichita.
Clint, you mind if I take these old handbills?
Why, of course not. I don't see why you'd want them, but
Well, I have a collection of them myself.
Oh, you're a pack rat, too.
Huh? Oh, no. Luke calls himself an amateur historian or something.
Oh. Well, I'll get Al. You'd rather talk out here, I imagine.
Please.
Well, here, take the grub along. I know you aim to run a good jail, but you're too young to know how to cook.
I'm too busy. You haven't had too many complaints about the wife's cooking, though.
Women can't cook neither. Talk Al into taking a jury trial?
I haven't talked to him at all yet. Wichita.
Yes?
Weren't you out in California around Sacramento some years ago?
Let's see. August of 1870 to February of 72. Couldn't stand it no longer. Got too civilized. Why?
That's just the time I'm interested in. You recall a bad shooting in a hotel out there around 1871?
Well, sure I do. Gaylord Massacre, they called it. It was the dangest thing.
Tell me about it later, Wichita.
Oh, well, howdy there, Al.
Howdy, Wichita. Morning, Mr. Slaughter.
Morning. And please make it Luke. Al, Wichita rode to St. David again yesterday. Got back just a few hours ago.
How's Barbara? You see her?
Well, of course I seen her. She's sure a top little filly, Al.
Thanks. Elder Norton and Mrs. Norton taking good care of her?
Oh, she's in real good hands. See, I brung you some biscuits.
I told him, Wichita.
Huh. Al, Wichita says that the man you, he was never identified.
No one in St. David could have known him.
There weren't any papers on him. His horse was a stolen horse. He's been buried.
God rest his soul.
Who was he, Al?
I haven't any idea what he called himself.
Why won't you let us help you?
Luke, I killed a man. The law says it's wrong. Law can have me.
You killed four more men, saving my life. The law doesn't say that's wrong. Al, the circuit judge will be in Tombstone day after tomorrow. Still rather go before a stranger than the local judge.
Yep, that's what I want.
Miller and Bear Cubs, man. Everybody in town knows you. Why don't you take a jury trial? Luke and me will testify the other hombre drew on you and you'll go scot-free.
Wichita, nobody's going to lie for me. Now, Luke, I mean that. You're not going to do it.
No, we aren't. Clint?
Yeah, Luke?
When the judge gets in, tell him this prisoner waives his right to a jury trial and counsel. And it'll be your responsibility to see that no one else attends his trial.
Albert Larson, you are charged with shooting to death an unidentified man in this county of Cochise on May 11th, 1882. How do you plead?
Guilty, Your Honor.
Sheriff Wallace, the brief you've prepared might not be a model for a law class, but it's a fine example of getting to the meat of a case. The two gentlemen who have been sworn are your only witnesses?
Yes, sir.
You may proceed.
Mr. Slaughter, you and Wichita, Mr. Bagby. Watched Mr. Larson fire 6 shots at the D.C. stranger?
We did.
Well, how far away were you?
Oh, I should say about 40 rods.
You recognized Mr. Larson, but not the other man, huh?
That's right.
Did you recognize him when you reached the body?
I thought perhaps I'd seen the face before, but it wasn't until yesterday I was sure of it.
Luke, you didn't know him.
The defendant will remain quiet, please.
Then I found this old handbill issued by the California State Marshal in 1871. I will swear that the face drawn here is the face of the man Mr. Larson shot.
I'll swear, too. It's either him or that artist fella was a mighty lucky guesser.
Wanted for murder. Arson, armed stagecoach robbery. Parley Ring. Why, I was in California myself when young Ring was terrorizing the whole state.
So was I, Your Honor. Everybody figured Ring got wounded so bad in that bloody Sacramento mess that he must have died. But the man on that handbill's the man Larson shot.
I never knew him as Parley Ring.
Mr. Larson, you'll have a chance to testify later if you wish.
Sentence me. Get it over with.
Now, stop it. Your Honor, if I may. Well, there are just the 5 of us here. Now, Clint's going to ask you just a couple of questions.
No.
Try to answer them. You aren't going to have to say much.
Go ahead, Mr. Wallace.
Well, Al, before you came to Arizona, did you and Mrs. Larson happen to run a boarding house in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Did a young couple with a small baby take a room just before a shooting fray known as the Gaylord Hotel Massacre?
I didn't know who they were.
Were you called to identify a woman who was killed as she helped her husband gun down a whole room full of celebrating miners?
It was her.
Did you ever see the man again?
Not till he come to St. David 4 days ago and wanted Barbara. We couldn't tell anybody they left the baby. A baby isn't born bad, no matter what its parents are. But if they're treated bad, if they're poked fun at and shamed, they can turn bad. Well, we couldn't let that happen to Barbie. We couldn't ever let her know.
Your Honor, Al Larson and his wife and that abandoned baby came to Arizona nearly 12 years ago. Mrs. Larson died the year after. I don't know how you feel about what's born in a child and what's put there by the way it's raised. But Barbara Larson's a young lady I'd want for a daughter. And Al Larson's a friend to everyone who knows him. I think Clinton Wichita will bear me out.
That's what I think, Your Honor.
So do I. It's all the case we got.
You've presented a good case. We've accomplished more, I think, than if we'd spent several days hearing lawyers wrangling to impress a jury. The court finds this homicide justifiable, committed in the lawful protection of the defendant's child. Mr. Larson, you are hereby released from custody.
Your Honor,
You come outside with me, Al.
Yeah, Al. Might be somebody who wants to see you.
Father. Oh, Father.
Barbie. Barbie, honey.
Oh, Father, is everything all right?
Yeah, Barbie. Everything's all right now.
Starring Sam Buffington, was written by Fran Van Hartisfeld and directed by William N. Robeson. Editorial supervision by Tom Handley. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Norma Jean Nelson, Junius Matthews, Charles Seal, Carl Swenson, and Vic Perrin, with music composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
Once One false move can lead Detective Johnny Dollar to disaster. Johnny, however, seems to be gifted with a knack for dodging the wrong clues, and that, along with his inclination for patting expense accounts and his not-too-idle habit of attracting the attentions of lovely women, makes his career an exciting one to follow. For the next thrill-laden episode of his story, hear yours truly, Johnny Dollar, later today on most of these same stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Sergeant John Kenneth Smith, Royal West Kent's reporting, sir.
Oh, yes, Sergeant. You volunteered to become a commando soldier.
Yes, sir.
You are, I believe, an expert with explosives.
Somewhat, sir.
We have decided to accept you, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir. I'm proud of the honor.
We have decided to accept you because we could use volunteers of your experience on a special, very dangerous job.
Am I permitted to ask the nature of the job, sir?
I'm sorry, Sergeant. It's secret.
I volunteer, sir.
Good. You'll be ordered to a combined operations training center immediately. You need a few weeks there before you're ready for this work. Thank you, Sergeant Smith, and good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the Council on Books in Wartime, presents the premiere of Words at War, a series based on the most important books to come out of this war. Stories of the battlefronts, of behind-the-scenes diplomacy, of underground warfare, of the home front, of action on the seas. Each is a living record of this war and the things for which we fight. Tonight's story is based on material from the recently published book Combined Operations, the official story of the British Commandos. Words at War presents Hilary St. George Sanders, the author of Combined Operations, for a few introductory words. Mr. Sanders.
What you are going to hear tonight is not an actual extract from the book Combined Operations. It is an imaginative reconstruction of one of the most successful commando raids described therein. It does not pretend to be accurate in every detail. After all, why tell the enemy what he would very much like to know? But you may be assured that the incidents depicted either happened or might well have happened. In any case, here is the story, as told by a man whom we shall call Sergeant Smith. Sergeant Smith of Number 2 Commando of the Combined Operations Command.
Actually, Smith is not my name, but for reasons of military security, I must be Smith.
Well, well, well. So this is what I'm supposed to make commandos out of, is it? Let's have a look at you. You. What's your name?
Smith, sir. Sergeant John Kenneth Smith, Royal West Kent, assigned to combined operations.
And you?
Corporal Ypravan, Piper, Seaforth Highlanders, assigned to combined operations.
Carrying your bagpipes with you when you arrived, I noticed. What made you volunteer for combined operations?
I heard you needed one good man in the outfit, sir.
Hey, boss, while you're at it, how come you're in this man's army? I thought the Irish were supposed to be neutral.
The Irish are neutral. But who the devil do you think they're neutral against? You think we want the English to be beaten and have no one to fight with after the war? And you. Who are you?
Private Edward Murphy.
Murphy?
Murphy.
Glory be to the saints. What sort of a name is that? Irish?
Why, sure. Me, I come from Brooklyn, boss.
And in what part of Ireland is that?
It ain't. It's in the USA. Brooklyn is a city of which New York is a suburb.
Oh, a Yank, is it? And I suppose, like a good many more of you I've met, you couldn't wait for the States to get into the war. You had to rush up to Canada and join up. Is that it?
That's right, boss. Me and Piggy O'Donnell from Canarsie. We done it together. We were sick of going to Ebbets Field to throw bottles at the umpire, so we decided we'd get into some real fighting. So we hops in the train and gets to Canada.
Spare me the complete story of your life, please. Piggy O'Donnell. With a name like that, you'd think he'd be a good soldier. Why didn't he volunteer for the commandos?
Piggy didn't come back from Dunkirk.
Company! Now, you men have been very carefully chosen from all the volunteers for combined operations. You're all supposed to be outstanding. Mentally, physically. But let me put you straight. Up to now, you don't even know what soldiering is. When you finish commando training, if you finish it, you'll be worthy of that uniform. But now listen to me carefully. Combined operations means just what it says. Attack and raiding operations in which the Army, the Navy, and the Royal Air Force work together. We don't go in for petty discipline here. Every man is on his own, more or less. We expect you to obey the rules. Too many lapses and you're out. And once you're kicked out of the commandos, you couldn't get back in again if you were His Majesty's fifth cousin. Another thing. We work in twos in the commandos. Pick yourself a mate and work with him. Stick with him. You'll find it pays. And now I see you're all very tired. You've had a hard day. And some of you can hardly keep your eyes open. So I'm not going to keep you standing here any longer. Piper Provan.
Aye, sir.
Pick up your bagpipes and take your place at the head of the column.
We're going someplace, Sergeant Major?
Yes. We're marching to Edgemere and back.
What?
It's only 22 miles the round trip.
22 miles?
Room. Right. Fire the left.
We climbed cliffs. We did exercises by eights together, balancing logs 9 inches thick on our shoulders. And we learned to handle one of the most devastating instruments of death known to modern warfare.
Now watch me close, boys. This cottage is a strongly held German position. We're the demolition squad. You, over there. You're the protective squad. Open fire on the Germans. That'll give us a chance to work. Now, boys. While the enemy's supposed to be in that house is engaged by the others, we'll get our little gift ready for him. Take this satchel charge. It's a number of blocks of TNT held together with wire with a satchel handle for carrying it. We set the fuse, like so. We insert the igniter, like so. Now, while our own fire covers us, we run to the house, ram it up against the wall. Now! Run back like blazes! Run, you terriers, run! Down, boys! Down on your faces! Down!
Whew.
So that's what a settled charge does, eh?
Look at that cottage.
Where the heck is it to look at?
Round to smithereens.
As you can see, boys, these satchel charges can make the Nazis very unhappy. But be careful. Please be careful how you handle them.
Oh, a sergeant major?
Yes, Timmins?
Could I have one of them things for my mother-in-law?
All right, move on.
The colonel in London had told me my mission would be dangerous. He hadn't told me quite how strenuous commando training would be. We marched and doubled and marched and doubled and marched again over all kinds of country. We swam rivers in full equipment and crossed them on bridges made of toggle ropes. And we ran the gauntlet over specially prepared assault courses.
Hey, Brooklyn! Boys, me!
Pardon me, boy!
Get them over on you there!
But, boss, these bombs are real!
Hey, and the bullets, too. Look, you smashed the bayonet on my rifle. Half an inch lower and I'd have been ex-corporal Pravan.
Promise, Sergeant Major, this game of yours is too dangerous.
Real bombs and ammunition. And what do you think the Germans will throw at you, spitballs? Get going and take that objective.
We wrestled and boxed and learned jiu-jitsu and how to swim in from the sea, holding our Tommy guns over our heads. We learned the tricks of handling the 2- and 3-inch mortars and anti-tank rifle and how to use the rifle butt on human skulls. We learned to hunt tanks and their crews, to storm pillboxes, and to march, 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 march. This was learning the trade of war. But commando training gave us mastery of our own minds and bodies, too. Strengthened our mental and moral makeup. Built within each of us the self-confidence and self-reliance the good commando soldier must have. I remember well my first lesson in this. It happened one evening after we had finished a 33-mile forced march. We were sitting around singing while Scotty played his bagpipe.
That was a bit of all right, that was, Scotty. Encore!
Come on, Scotty.
No, I didn't feel like playing more than you, lads.
Hey, Scotty, swing out with Chattanooga Choo Choo or Canyon, that contraption.
Why, Scotty.
Aye, Smitty.
Well, I swear, man, you're the saddest looking Scots piper I've ever seen in my life.
Aye, I suppose I am. You see, lads, I'm in love, I am.
Oh, in love?
I mean it, lads, with the sweetest lassie north of the border. It was home on furlough I was to be married to her. Then came the word I was accepted for the commandos and I was called back, with only enough time to give her a wee kiss on the red of her cheek.
Yeah, but why get a crying jag on about it?
It's the song, Brooklyn lad, the banks of Loch Lomond. You see, May, that's her name. She's a sentimental lassie, and aye, she says that's our love song. She was aye singing it. You see how it is. Look, here's her picture.
Oh. Well, she's very lovely, Scotty. Isn't she? Congratulations, Scotty.
Oh, my, she's a beauty, ain't she?
Hey, here comes the great single puss himself, boys.
Aye, the sergeant major's riding one of them Yankee jeeps.
Hi, Sergeant Major. It's good to see you, boss. I wouldn't have been able to sleep tonight if you hadn't come back.
I see you're in fine fettle, Murphy.
Honest, boss, I'm not kidding. I was just saying to the guys, if the sergeant major don't come back before they sound lights out, I said, they won't be able to sleep.
Oh, okay. Well, there'll be no lights out tonight. Huh? You're on your own, boys. The next parade's at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning at map reference A144G16 on your scout map. A144G16.
6 a.m.?
Where'd he say?
Did you say map reference A144G16, Sergeant Major?
I did.
Well, let's see. The scale is... Well, that's 73 miles from here.
That's right. It is.
Well, for the love of... Well, that means we got to ride all night. Okay. Maybe this is your idea of fun, boss. When the lorries be along to pick us up?
There won't be any lorries, Murphy.
Huh? What's that? No lorries?
But Sergeant Major, how are we supposed to get there? It's 73 miles away.
That is your problem. Be there at 6 a.m. or you'll be on a charge. Absent without leave. Good night, commandos.
We got there, all right.
Every man as best he could, by what you call hitchhiking, on Shank's mare, riding freight trains. Yes, we were beginning to realize by then that as commando soldiers, we were expected to solve our own problems. But finally the day came when we stood on parade, those of us who had come through the grueling training, on parade under the happy, contented glare of our sergeant major. And we heard our commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Newman, say,
"Well, men, you've come through all right. You are now commando soldiers, but you have no time to rest on your laurels. From now on, you'll continue training. Training constantly, side by side with the naval units of the Combined Operations Command and the RAF. Those of us who are lucky will carry out raids on enemy territory. Those of us who are extremely lucky will return from them. And between raids, we'll continue training. We'll never know when what looks like a training operation will turn out to be the real thing. Welcome to Number 2 Commando."
The colonel knew what he was talking about. For weeks, in all weathers, we trained with the naval arm in craft large and small. Much of this I am not at liberty to describe. But I can tell you about one cruise that we took for reasons other than the good of our health. We'd gone aboard this vessel one day in March, 1942, and under orders went below and stayed there. In the wardroom, Brooklyn was attempting to teach Scotty a rather non-bagpiper's tune.
No, no, Scotty. Listen, listen. This is the way it goes. You leave the Pennsylvania station round 3:45, read a magazine, then you're in Baltimore. Dinner in the diner. Nothing could be finer to have your ham and eggs in Carolina. I'll try that part.
You'll have me dashed with your Yankee airs.
Hey, you're just seasick, Scotty. When do we get back ashore and make a regular jive book out of you?
Yes, when do we get back ashore? We've been going for hours in this here ship we have.
Fly me if we ain't, Timmons. What's it all about?
Does anyone know the name of this ship?
Fly me if I do. You, Sergeant Major? Hey, where is the Sergeant Major?
As soon as we saw Colonel Newman and the troop commander, we knew something was going to happen.
Men, this is it. We're on our way to raid Nazi-held territory. This ship, HMS Campbelltown, was formerly the USS Buchanan. No doubt you've noticed the changes that have been made in her structure and the clumsy way she's been steering. That's because she's packed to a bottom with tons of explosives and scuttling charges. Makes her hard to handle.
Scuttling, sir? Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Yes. The Campbelltown's to be scuttled in the port of San Nazaire. San Nazaire has the only dry dock on Europe's west coast big enough to accommodate the Nazi battleship Tirpitz. We're going to ram the Campbelltown against the gates of the lock leading to the dry dock and keep the Tirpitz out of the Atlantic. We're going to ram her at exactly 0130 tomorrow morning, about 20 hours from now. The Navy men will take care of the scuttling and set the time fuses for the delayed action charge that will blow up the ship many hours later. While they're doing that, we of Number 2 Commando will be ashore, destroying powerhouses, bridges, and other objectives. We'll have just 2 hours to do our job. Complete instructions with map references will be issued in an hour. Any questions?
Are we alone in this operation, sir? Or are the motor launches that were with us when we started out still around?
As you'll see when day breaks, the MLs are still with us. We have also a destroyer escort. The MLs will take us off at the old mole in San Nazaire when our job is done. Anything else?
But suppose it fizzles, sir. Suppose the delayed charge and the ship fails to go off, and suppose we can't manage the rammer against the lock gates. What then?
We've got a plan to cover that. Sergeant Smith.
Sir.
This is the job I spoke to you about when you volunteered for combined operations. Your particular job is to get ashore with your section just as soon as you possibly can when the ship rams the lock gates. Go to the powerhouse that operates those gates and destroy it. One way or another, we'll keep the Tirpitz out of the Atlantic. Any further questions? Very well. Carry on.
Well, that's it.
I'll lay you 50 to 1 that none of us comes back alive.
Well, what do you blighters want to do? Live forever?
I'll take you up on that bet, Timmons. Even if I lose, the odds are too good to pass up.
Yeah, Scott, you're right.
I'll not lose. I've got to come back. I'm going to be married a fortnight from now, and my girl would be very insulted if I showed up for my wedding in a shroud.
Come on, give us a song, Scotty.
Yeah, come on, make a Chattanooga choo-choo, Scotty.
No, Brooklyn. Somehow I don't feel like playing the pipes. I think I'll just lay down for a while and think, if you don't mind.
Throughout the night and the following day, the force moved steadily toward San Nazaire, constantly risking discovery. But we were in luck. Now it was close to 1 a.m. of Thursday, March 28th, and the Campbelltown's nose was quietly poking its way up the estuary. Every one of us knew what his job was. We were all on deck, waiting for the crash.
Hey, Smitty.
Yes, Scotty? What's eating you?
Hampton's overhead. Am I right, Sergeant Major?
You are. Those Hamptons are on their way to provide a diversion. MRAF lads are our decoys. While the Nazi plays his searchlights on the planes, he can't turn them on us.
Look at that blooming flag.
It's most of a tracer's, too.
John, if it don't remind you, Coney Island on the 4th of July.
Those Hamptons are laying plenty of eggs in there.
Yeah.
Out on deck, everyone. Out on deck. They've spotted us.
Full speed ahead. Full strut.
Hey, you blasted nasties. If you don't stop shining that searchlight in my face, I'll be letting you have it.
Never mind the whispering now. They've spotted us.
Lie flat. We're about to open fire. Lie flat on deck.
And it began. German searchlights ashore flooded the estuary, revealing its sharpest outline every ship in the force. The Campbelltown was still nearly 2 miles from the locked gates. From shore, the tracer shells came pouring in beautiful illuminated arcs. Our ship's bridge was being heavily battered. The deadly rockets hurtled out from Nazi batteries to smash through the gallant ship or ricochet from her sides like exploding stars. Her foredeck was afire. Masts had toppled. Funnels sheared off. But her skipper, Lieutenant Commander Beatty, sent his ship tearing full speed ahead toward the locked gates.
Don't lose your bearings. Be on shore when our jobs are done. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Hey! Smith, go and your men get the powerhouse.
Right, Sergeant Major.
Fine. Now brace yourself. She's going to hit the gates, and when she does...
Murphy, lad.
What is this, buddy?
We were supposed to crash at 0130. It's now 0134. Will you kindly go up and tell the captain that there's a Scotsman aboard his ship who doesn't think much of his navigator?
Oh! Get ashore!
Pipes gave it hard. We charged ashore. Our covering parties protected the demolition parties while dynamite was set and discharged. But the enemy could fight too. And many a fallen commando soldier attested to that fact. Up went the pump house. And after it, the lock gate power station. My own particular job. Accomplished, unfortunately, at the sacrifice of two brave men. Building after building was set afire. For our allotted 2 hours, we worked like madmen. And when 3:30 came, Sergeant Major pulled us together at the appointed place.
Everybody here?
All that's left.
Where's Timmons? Cochran, Thompson.
Timmons, coming ashore.
Cochran and Thompson died in the powerhouse.
Yeah, so did Willis and Peabody. The pump station.
You've been hit, Murphy.
Yeah, it ain't bad. That ain't exactly tomato juice that's coming out of your own sleeve there, boy.
Down, down, machine gun, let's go.
What did they get?
I don't know. Looks as though they got all except you and Scotty and Brooklyn and myself.
Take me off that list, pal.
Did they get you, Murphy, lad?
Not bad, boss. Just 8 at 9 in the belly.
Hold on, lad. We'll get you down to the dock of the old mole. The motor launches will be waiting there to pick us up.
The heck they will, boss. We're way overdue now. And if those MLs are still sticking around, they'll be pounded to bits.
He's right, Sergeant Major.
Even so, we can still pull through. You'll find some way back to England. Now just keep your chin up, Murphy, lad. Of course, I've got to figure some way of getting that bunch of Nazi machine guns in that house. They're just waiting for us to show our heads.
You let me worry about them dirty bums, boss.
Brooklyn, what are you doing with that satchel shard?
What's that? Murphy, don't light that fuse. It'll do us no good. You think you can throw that satchel over there? It's nearly 30 feet from here to that doorway.
Don't worry, boss. I ain't gonna throw it. I'm gonna take it over, personally.
Murphy, stay here. You want to be killed?
Stay put. Now, that's an order.
Do I want to be killed, he says. You know what you can do with your order, boss? I owe those Nazis something for a guy at Dunkirk.
You'll never make it, Murphy, lad.
Heck, I won't. Anyway, what have I got to lose? Okay. She's lit. Smitty.
Yeah?
Heave a couple of grenades at that door and give me a chance.
All right, Brooklyn.
And Scotty.
Hey, lad.
Play something on that machine of yours, will you? Play Chattanooga Choo-Choo. I'd rather hear Glenn Miller do it, but... Okay. Let go with the grenades.
Here goes! Good luck, Murphy. Don't stumble, boy, or we'll all be dead horses.
He'll never make it. They'll cut him down before he can...
That's what you think.
Stop!
As I have said, a satchel charge is a terrible weapon. Its effect is deadly. Its range is wide. There was no more machine gun fire from that house. There was no more house. No more Brooklyn. No more Irish Sergeant Major. No more Scotty. I shall never know how I escaped the effects of that satchel charge. And you won't know, at least not yet, how I escaped from France and returned to England. I can tell you that next morning, nearly 400 Nazi officers and men were aboard the Campbelltown or on the dockside, the pick of the Nazi crop in that area. Precisely at noon, when they were deep in the bowels of the ship or close by her, our delayed charges went off, blowing them all to Helgoland. But military security forbids my telling you more. At least until the war has been won. Meanwhile, we commandos are awaiting the biggest raid of all. Bigger than the ones on Saint Nazaire, on Dieppe, and on North Africa. The raid on Hitler's fortress Europa itself. It will be successful, we think. All the more successful for the knowledge that we have gained of the enemy in the past. Knowledge gained through the sacrifice of boys from Brooklyn. Cockneys from Lambeth, Irish sergeant majors, and gallant youngsters who will never meet again on the bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
I've heard the first of a new series of programs called Words at War. Stories told by men and women who have seen them happen, adapted from the most important books to come out of this war. Tonight's story was written by Richard McDonough of the NBC script staff and was based upon a portion of Hillary St. George Sanders' combined operations. Next week, you'll hear Wendell L. Wilkie's One World, with Mr. Wilkie himself taking part in the program. Our cast tonight included Les Damon as Sergeant Smith, Jackson Beck as the Sergeant Major, and Walter Kinsella, Ian McAllister, Victor B. Craft, and Roger DeCoven. The original music was written and conducted by Frank Black. The production was under the direction of Joseph Losey. program has been presented in cooperation with the Council on Books in Wartime by the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the NBC network. This program came to you from New York.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. If you want to hear more from Luke Slaughter or Words at War, visit the website, search those out. You'll find available episodes there. You'll also find links to all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else Relic Radio. Remember, if you'd like to help support this show, you can do so from the website as well. Click on that donate button. There's some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. You can learn about those on the website. Thanks to those who have donated. It's how this is all made possible. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.